This is 89.1 WEMU. It's your community NPR station. I'm David Fair, and welcome to another edition of Creative Impact. It's our weekly look at the arts and creative industries in Washtenaw County, and WEMU's Creative Impact content partner is Creative Washtenaw. You used to know it as the Arts Alliance. Deb Pollack is its president and CEO and my co-host. Welcome back, Deb.
David, it's always good to be with you, and I'm really happy today because the original date for the interview we're going to do with graphic recorder, illustrator, creative entrepreneur, and arts advocate Yen Nazara was March 13th, 2020.
That's about the time we all shut down.
It is absolutely the date we mark in our lives as the day that we shut down. And we were going to talk with her and her husband, Nick. They were going to come to the studio for a conversation about the Admin Micro Museum. So that hit its own snag because of COVID. But let's give a long overdue welcome to Yen Nazara.
Yen, thank you so much for joining us on Creative Impact.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that we're finally doing this. And so much has taken place over this past year. The Admin Micro Museum was closed down, and that had to be pretty disappointing. But true to your serial creative entrepreneurial self, you pivoted and turned to another one of your talents, graphic recording, and are making that a business, the paper pusher. Before we get much further, can you describe digital recording for our listeners?
I've been graphic recording on and off the last 10 years, and this is the practice of drawing and writing what people say in real time. So pre-pandemic times, I was traveling to places, typically meeting the client for the first time and unpacking a large swath of paper and markers and drawing for a conference or a workshop or a board retreat. And now I do that at home. I can do that on the iPad and mirror it to a computer screen, or I can do that in my studio and use a computer stand and still show the large piece of paper and fill up a Zoom screen pretty well. So it's worked for this time and this moment where we're at.
You know, I've been in many group meetings when someone is writing down the notes and doing so on large pads of paper as the session progresses. So can you paint a picture of what the graphic recording looks like and how it differs?
The graphic recording is really a combination of illustration and the most distilled version of that idea. So if somebody were to say, we're having a brainstorm session, the very first gut instinct of a visual that might pop into your head is that think cloud. So I might do a think cloud, or I might take it a step further and put a figure standing next to it with their arm extended out and the idea written next to them in a bright, bold color, and then outlined in black to really resonate and stick with you after the event is over.
So I learned about digital recording at a VizThink national conference that was spearheaded by a local guy named Tom Crawford. And, you know, the benefit of visual recording, graphic recording, became apparent in an exercise I want to try on David. David, give me a few definitions for the word pronounced bear.
All right, put me on the spot. Well, there's bear, the animal. Bear a grudge, bear in mind. Please avert your eyes for your own protection. I'm bare naked.
Right. So, Yen, you can obviously lots of different connotations for the word bear. How would this a graphic recording of something that used bear make its meaning really clear?
You could certainly draw that large grizzly bear holding on to something, grasping onto an object. You could certainly write the word really, really large. A lot of times graphic recorders are using lots of tools in their arsenal, like using thick versus thin lines or large versus small. So we're always looking for that really visually interesting way to spark ideas in people's minds and resonate with them after they leave the event or revisit the conversation as they're looking at the visual later on.
So I've been looking at a few examples of the completed sessions you've done that are so visually appearing, they actually could be standalone artworks. We will certainly include these on our web post following our interview, and people will get to look at them themselves. But on one sheet, I can quickly grasp the essence of the conversation. It seems there could be other applications for graphic recording, like taking notes in class. We're taught to write things down from the time we start school, not to draw them. So do you actually teach how to do this, this graphic recording?
I do. This past spring, I launched a series of online courses, and the first one is starting in mid-April. And it's really the practice of teaching people how to take that moment, draw the idea rather than writing it. So you made a really good point about how we learn to write as children. But if you think about the very, very first time you saw a child pick up a pencil and you asked that child to write the letter B, they weren't writing it. They were drawing the shape or the representation of what a B is to them because that's what you showed them. What I want to do with drawing is take you back to that moment of discomfort and discovery, and say, how do I draw a representation of something that I've never seen or done before? So if I said, draw a bear, you'd have to, you know, that moment would have to come back to you and say, oh, I start with the head or the tail or the body. And that is that moment of discomfort that children feel. And that's what I'm pushing adults to do in the online courses.
Creative Impact continues on 89.1 WEMU with Deb Pollock, my Creative Impact co-host. Our conversation continues with graphic recorder, illustrator, serial creative entrepreneur, and arts activist, Yen Azaro.
Yen, one of the examples on the Paper Pusher site depicts some challenging issues, yellow peril, and has the phrase, this has become a violent time towards Asian Americans. You are an Asian American. May I ask you how you're doing?
It's been a very trying time. For the first time, I think I really had to grapple as an adult with the skin that I'm in and thinking about the spaces in which I feel safe. And those could be online spaces or physical spaces. I'm especially thinking about them when people get really silent around me or they ask me passive-aggressive questions at the doctor's office where the person ahead of me was asked if they've traveled in 14 days. And when they get to me, it's 21 days. And so those things start to irk me or start to make me question, where is my placement of protection in my community? And am I safe when I'm in public with my son? It also speaks to the piece about me being a silent participant. As a graphic recorder, many times when I go into a space, I unpack my supplies, I do the job, I get a pat on the back, and then I leave. In the virtual space, I'm almost allotted more time to participate in discussion because I'm able to describe or define what I've done, which I wasn't able to do in the physical space. So a lot of that has played into it professionally for me, too.
I am truly sorry that you and others are having to go through this at all. It has been long a part of American culture to be bigots, and it seems to continue, and it's increasing in severity at this point. Again, I just want to say I'm sorry.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate that, and I understand that the cyclical racism of Asians and in this country is something that occurs over and over again, and all I can hope is that as we traverse through this time and we look at the immigrant situation, the Black Lives Matter movement that I hope continues to stay strong, and the Stop AAPI Hate movement, I hope that there's some resonance and some progress in this generation.
Yeah, and the late, great civil rights leader John Lewis said art and music provided the civil rights movement necessary fuel to move forward. I've heard others say the same thing about art being critical to making change. How are you and others using art to fight anti-racism for Asian Americans and the entire BIPOC community?
I have seen so many talented people coming forth and saying, let's gather and let's create art, whether it's guerrilla or planned or community-driven, and I think that artists create that space in between those moments where we're planning what is supposed to happen next. I think that creativity sparks and is sparked from a place that is not tangible, that is, you know, comes to us in the middle of the night or while we're driving, and it's just so powerful in the way that it's spontaneous that we need to see those things, and I'm seeing a lot of people do that right now. I haven't fully processed how I want to create that space. I haven't reached out to the teams that we worked with before, but I am in a place where I think we have a lot of momentum, and that momentum can't be wasted. So I'm hopeful and I'm passionate to see what others are doing.
Yeah, our time together is too short. Thank you for joining us and sharing your story. I'm so glad we finally had this chance for our Creative Impact conversation.
I really appreciate it. Thank you both so much.
That was Yenna Zarro, graphic recorder, illustrator, serial creative entrepreneur and arts activist, and founder of The Paper Pusher. You can learn more about Yen and her new company on our website. And Deb Pollock, we'll be back together again next week.
With another Creative Washington guest. Be well.
Deb Pollock is president and CEO of Creative Washington, our partner in Creative Impact. It's a regular feature heard each Tuesday. To learn more about today's guest and topic and access our Creative Impact archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.